War Room, Impeachment. With Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to War Room Impeachment, 2 December, Year of Our Lord 2019, Episode 54. On the John Fredericks Radio Network, the Salem Broadcast Radio Network, AmericasVoice.news, and the fastest-growing cable TV operation in America, Newsmax TV. Chris Ruddy and the team now passing 70 million homes are at the Breitbart Embassy, and the team is back together after the Thanksgiving holidays. Glad that we made all the broadcast as everybody was out and about on assignment at different places. Raheem Kassam, the right-hand man of Nigel Farage, the mastermind, one of the masterminds of backup Brexit, is that hurtling towards a 12 December election, and President Trump will be en route to the United Kingdom this afternoon. And Jason Miller, the communication strategist, chief communication strategist for the 2016 come from behind victory, the biggest come from behind victory in American political history. We're going to be joined today by Congressman Matt Gaetz, really the superstar that brought this on in the second half of the show. Scott Rasmussen. Is Congressman Gaetz with us?
Yeah.
Congressman?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Good morning. Congressman, I want to dive right in. This is a big, huge week. Obviously, you're on the Judiciary Committee. We have a committee full of, as we affectionately refer to, our killers here. Wish we could have gotten you on Intel, but hey, we'll take you now. We'll take you now coming into the after the first turn here. Set the stage for us, Congressman, with what we're going to see over this next 24 hours with the Intel Committee report going into tomorrow's vote that Schiff is holding, and then Wednesday's big hearing where you're going to get your chance finally. Can you set the stage for us?
At the end of last week, Jason, you heard Democrats really crowing about their own perceived success. They believed they had made the case factually and that just this groundswell of support for impeachment would be overtaking Republicans during the Thanksgiving holiday. Quite the opposite happened. Actually, the more the Democrats put evidence on, the more the American people tuned out, turned off, and dropped away from this impeachment push by Democrats. The problem for them is that if you play hearts, going for impeachment is sort of like shooting the moon. You know, when you start doing it, you can't really go back strategically because they would eviscerate the enthusiasm in their own base. So that brings us to this week in the Judiciary Committee, where my perception is that Democrats are trying to get impeachment through the digestive tract of the legislative process as fast as humanly possible. What they're going to do Wednesday, I think, really plays directly into our hand and into our advantage. They're going to bring what I can only perceive to be as a group of kind of pious, condescending law professor, academician types to talk down to the Congress and really talk down to the MAGA movement and say that what you really need to do is impeach based on this conduct, because we, the elite, we, the permanent Washington, we, the smart folks, have decided that according to our norms, this is not acceptable conduct. And I just think the American people are going to reject that, and they're going to continue to ask the question, what does any of this have to do with me, with my life? And what Republicans, I think, risk doing is playing too much into the tactical back and forth on this garbage. You know, if we find ourselves in some debate on the role of that, you know, someone's thoughts on impeachment and bribery and treason, you know, played into Andrew Johnson's impeachment, I think that the water will get pretty deep for us. I think we have to make the Democrats pay for the fact that they have chosen this as their principal governing strategy to investigate and impeach over the important work to ratify the USMCA, reform our asylum laws, get a budgeting system that puts America first and that doesn't just kick the can down the road. So I think we've got to be very high level, and I think that too much kind of back and forth with the witnesses and jabbing around what the four corners of impeachment are, that plays into the Democrats' hands. We need to talk to the country.
So how do you, listen, you're not just the fire breathing populist. You're the master strategist here. If it was not for you, you know, because you really did break the fever when you went down there. That was a master stroke. It broke the fever. It changed the entire direction of this. It made it public. It shifted all the polling. You know, that was the high watermark for what they were trying to do. In that regard, what is your strategy to actually execute on what you just laid out?
Yeah, I think the strategy is to remain high level. You know, they don't exactly want to lay out every question I may have or every tactic here on Monday, because the Democrats are certainly playing hide the ball to what they're doing. I mean, Steve, I don't even know who the witnesses are going to be on Wednesday, and it's Monday. You see what they're doing? They're trying to hold back as much information as possible. So we don't really have a full kind of array of the tools because we don't know who their witnesses are going to be. But I think that as I'm talking to my Republican colleagues, yesterday, today, what we're really saying to one another is that, we can't lose sight of what actually is mattering to people. We cannot get the, Potomac River fever inside the Beltway of Washington and really follow the Democrats over the cliff here. We've got to do better than that.
Yeah, and Congressman, to help set the stage for folks who are at home who are watching this and, what's Jerry Nadler doing and what to make of all this. So the Judiciary Committee hearing on Wednesday, they're going to be calling four witnesses. Again, we don't know who they are. There are going to be three that the majority staff, that Democrats, are calling, and one that we're calling, although I'm not quite sure how it's one of ours if we don't even know who that witness is going to be yet. But from the Democrat side, they're going to have the Lawrence Tribe types of the world. We're not going to see, from our side, we're not going to see the Alan Dershowitzes or the David Rivkins, let alone...
I suggested that we call Dershowitz. I think Dershowitz should have been our witness. There were some establishment Republicans who were like, oh no, we can't have Dershowitz because of these Epstein allegations. From my standpoint, you bring Dershowitz right in there and you make these Democrats look at a liberal, like civil libertarian style Democrat, and I think Dershowitz would have carved him up. But because, they're like worried about these other allegations against him, I think there was consternation about calling him, but I think that was a mistake. I don't think there's anybody we'd put in that chair better now with Dershowitz.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, their thing too is he can go toe-to-toe with any of these folks, whether it be Nadler or anyone on the committee, and chop them up into 1,000 pieces. I'm not sure
A decent chance Dershowitz would have been the professor of some of the Democrat witnesses.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Congressman, so as we go into this on Wednesday, obviously the White House has said they're not going to participate in a Wednesday sham, which is probably a good move. Don't need to be there. Is it important that the White House participates as we look ahead into next week when the Judiciary Committee has the hearing and they bring in Schiff and the House impeachment managers to really make their case?
I would always, bring every tool to the fight. So I don't quite understand that decision by the White House not to send Cipollone. He's a very gifted lawyer, and I think would do a good job. I think the concern is the rules keep changing, the ground keeps shifting, and if the White House is going to engage, they're sort of getting on a roller coaster when they don't exactly know how many times it's going to go upside down. And I think that's a reasonable concern. But right now, we're not in some sort of legal fight where the waiver of rights or some sort of estoppel theory is going to decide the day. We are in a brass knuckles political fight, and I think that the more voices we can bring to bear, the better. We're already dealing with substantial disadvantages based on how the Democrats have used the power of the majority to try to animate their case, and so we should take all the ground we can get, in my opinion.
What sense do you have? You said you don't want people to get Potomac fever or get sucked into, playing the inside game. What type of feeling are you getting throughout the country and talking to not just your constituents back home, but your colleagues as they're coming back from Thanksgiving? Where do you actually think we're going to have Scott Rasmussen on in the next half hour? Where do you think we actually stand?
CNN sent a producer and a reporter to a radio town hall I had, because they were really eager to produce a segment about how pro-Trump Republicans were getting hammered on impeachment in their districts. And, out of like a half-hour radio show, I think we maybe got one or two calls on impeachment, and they were both supportive of the president's position. And, the producer and the reporter had to sort of stomp out in anger that they didn't stir up a lot of impeachment anxieties in the country. There are real anxieties that people face about, the status of our immigration system, about the fact that our government runs out of money at the end of the month, about the fact that we haven't gotten our troops the pay raise that the president and a lot of us on both sides of the aisle have been fighting for. But instead of all that, we're here on impeachment and investigations, and I think that's the real issue. Now, Steve, I know it's an impeachment podcast, but you have spent a lot of time focused on the composition of the Republican caucus in the United States Senate, and I've got to get your take on what's going on in Georgia, where Brian Kemp has the opportunity to take Doug Collins, who has bathed in the facts of this impeachment, and sit him right down at the Senate lunch where he can be a persuasive force with others about the timelines, about the legal standards. And instead of doing that, it appears that Brian Kemp is going to go pick some donor out of the Davos party, you know, to send up.
Congressman, we want to get to this. We got to take a short commercial break. If we can ask you to hold, Matt Gaetz from Florida One, one of the great voices in Congress. We want to take a short commercial break. We're going to return, and when we return, we're going to get right to the answer to that question. Next on War Room Impeachment.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 2 December, Year of Our Lord 2019, Episode 54, Breitbart Embassy, on the John Frederick Radio Network, now nationally on the Salem Broadcast Radio Network, on americasvoice.news worldwide, and on the fastest-growing cable operation in the United States, Chris Ruddy's Newsmax TV. Honored to be all part of that. We are now on with Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller, myself in the War Room. Now honored to have one of the great young firebrands and master political information warfare strategist, Matt Gaetz from Florida One. Okay, let's go back to the party at Davos in Georgia. Here's what I don't understand, Congressman Gaetz. There's so few real warriors and fighters. Collins is a fighter. He's just done an amazing job. He's going to come front and center now on national TV. Why is Collins not the natural pick? This is like this kind of a grassroots conservative, huge Trump supporter with the MAGA program. What am I missing here?
Well, Brian Kemp forgot why he won his election. I mean, he won it because of Donald Trump and because he was able to contrast capitalism with Stacey Abrams branded socialism. But now Kemp is so afraid of Stacey Abrams that he thinks that picking this WNBA owner out of the party of Davos is going to somehow persuade people in the Atlanta suburbs to like Kemp more than they do now. And it's just like it's this philosophy of the establishment that has always lost. And it took folks like you and Jason here, Raheem internationally, to say, no, like the way you win is not by playing to the mushy middle and acting like you sort of don't believe in anything. The way you win is to inspire people who are nationalists about our country to go and actually fight for stuff. It's so frustrating to see people like Kemp, who are the beneficiaries of the president's good political fortune and good political, charity and gratitude, to turn on him like this. And how do you believe this story will be written, Steve, at the end when, Kemp appoints Loeffler instead of Collins, and then, she may be a reliable vote for the president, but we don't need a reliable vote. We need champions who can capitalize on the opportunity of the Trump presidency. And with Doug Collins, you've got somebody who doesn't just know this stuff. He knows it like the back of his hand and can now go in there to the Senate lunch. And, when a Ben Sasse or a Mitt Romney pops off about the president, you could say, no, this is what the documents show. This is what the timeline shows. And he can actually be a persuader. What am I missing?
Here's the other thing is I don't think – does Kemp understand this 2020 that realize is this is going to be a dogfight? You need a warrior like Collins. This is going to be down in the trenches. This is not the time to try it out the first time, right? This is what's so stunning to me about this.
They think they can win it. They think they can win it at the Atlanta Martini Party.
Well, Congressman, that's one of the things. I was watching some of the Twitter activity from over the weekend, and some of the Georgia folks were trying to clap back at you, I love your commentary, and there's nothing wrong with jorts either, so I'm fully in your camp on that one. But the thing that was driving me nuts is all these folks saying, we understand Georgia politics, or Loeffler is going to be a solid vote. How does anyone have any idea how Loeffler is going to be when you have a proven rock star champion like Doug Collins, someone who has a record, who we know is going to go up there and, again, not just be wallpaper, but actually lead the fight? And what could even be
going on? And is going to leave an impression on national TV. But Collins is about to come center stage right now. I mean, this is going to be Gaetz, Collins. This is going to be big. This Judiciary Committee, I think, is going to get very – it's a throwdown. It's going to get nasty. It's going to be historic. This is where impeachment's always been, not in House intelligence. It's always been a judiciary. This is where – this is going to be the big time. He's going to leave a national impression. How do you not have that guy as your candidate?
Well, it's ridiculous. But, we have to make sure as the America First Coalition that we remind Georgians and all Americans – of the betrayal of Governor Brian Kemp on this. But we got to get important work.
On shift, this report that's coming out, the minority report. Yeah. How tough is it? How's the minority report and the majority report going to tee up the work that you guys have to do in judiciary?
It will be the presumed factual predicate, but you know you can expect the Schiff report to sort of report didn't, and that is put the thumb on the scale in a substantial way to color the facts. I think that in the Mueller report, you saw attempts to color the law, which were pretty novel, creative, and out there. But the facts of the Mueller report were not bad for the president, and they were laid forward. I think here you'll see something very different than that. But Steve, back to the point you had made about the Judiciary Committee now coming into center stage, what advice would you give to me and to my Republican colleagues as the Democrats sort of take this very academic, very Washington approach this week on, you know, lecturing on the constitutional framework of an impeachment analysis?
I'd stick right to the point. What shocked me about this whole, you know, the party of Davos, the permanent political class foreign policy debate, is he's the commander in chief. We've seen a little bit of this in the Pentagon over the last week. He is the commander in chief. He was duly elected by the American people. The American First National Security Strategy, you see in London this week at the very day that you're going to be up there, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, he's in NATO. And what are we saying? That finally all the NATO countries are stepping up to the agreement they made amongst themselves because of Donald Trump. You're going to see the General Secretary Stoltenberg give President Trump high kudos because they're acting like allies now. They're putting something into the till. That was the whole debate about Ukraine. Ukraine's about corruption, and it's about allies acting as allies to help a country that's not an ally, that's a strategic partner. I think you go back to the Constitution. You really want to talk about the Constitution? He's the commander-in-chief. I'm sorry that Dr. Fiona Hill doesn't like that. This interagency consensus is something this is the administrative state, that think that an interagency consensus of the administrative state outweighs what the commander-in-chief of the United States has determined is the correct national security and foreign policy for the United States. It's outrageous, and I assume that we're going to have guys like you and Collins and others. What I like about it, on judiciary, you guys bring the heat, and I am looking forward to this because I think that Nadler, given his fiasco with the Mueller and his fiasco with Corey Lewandowski, the great state trooper from the state of New Hampshire, who blew him up on national TV with your guys' assistance. I think this is going to be – that's where I think Collins and you guys are going to come front and center, and the nation's going to be talking about it.
And Congressman
– and Jason – let me ask you this question. You guys, I'm tired of y'all asking me. I want to ask you. So, following on what Steve said, the way that the Democrats will respond to that is they'll say, well, yeah, he's the commander-in-chief, but only when he acts in the national interest, not when he acts in his own personal interest. And when he invokes Biden, well, that's clearly personal, political, not national interest.
No. It was Biden is vice president. We cannot export American crony capitalism into one of the most corrupt countries in the world. It has nothing to do with Biden as a political candidate. This is about Biden. The whole thing started with Peter Schweizer's secret empires, where they actually broke with Biden. Biden's corruption in China and his corruption in Eastern Europe is when he was vice president under Obama. That's where you see the Biden crony capital, American crony capitalism, which is the way the American, which is the way the permanent political class aristocracy runs.
And doesn't that beg the question about the legitimacy on the corruption concerns with Burisma and Biden? If their answer is, well, Trump was only acting in his personal interest, to me, that only supercharges our claim that you cannot resolve these questions without having the Bidens there to testify about the extent
Amen.
To which
Amen.
That crony capitalism and corruption was exported.
Amen.
Yep, when you see Joe, need to see Hunter. One other thing, Congressman, is we've seen over this Thanksgiving break, these freshman Democratic members have been getting killed in these town halls back home. We have to keep driving the opportunity costs, USMCA, drug pricing reform, all these over and over, because I think as the American people see these stiffs wandering in from the law library to speak this week, that we have to make sure that we're calling them out and saying, would you want to talk about USMCA or see what this Dewey Decimal System guy is talking about?
We got to jump. Matt Gaetz is in his co-host role here. He's got to go, the congressman. Congressman Gaetz, thank you so much. This is going to be showtime this week for people like Collins, people like Gaetz. Get ready for it. It starts Wednesday. Stephen K. Bannon, War Room Impeachment. We're taking a short commercial break. I want to thank the congressman for joining us. We'll return with the pollster, Scott Rasmussen, in just a moment.
War Room, Impeachment. With Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back. Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, episode 54 from the Breitbart Embassy. It's 2 December, year of our Lord, 2019. We're live on the John Frederick Radio Network, the Salem Broadcast Radio Network, nationwide, worldwide, on americasvoice.news, and on the fastest-growing cable news operation in the country, Chris Ruddy's Newsmax TV. Very honored to be part of the group over there. We've got Scott Rasmussen, one of the great pollster that understands the Trump base. I guess he and McLaughlin are the two guys understand the Trump movement better than anybody. But a couple announcements. We've got the podcast is everywhere. It's on fire. Thanks, Raheem Kassam and the team. Raheem, you've just over the weekend in your free time redone the website.
Yep.
Warroom.org.
Made the website warroom.org a lot more easy to navigate and a lot more conducive. There are so many stories coming out there about all of this, and we want to make sure the audience is well appraised of every single development. The new warroom.org site allows us to do that, so get on over there. You can sign up for the newsletter. Everything's free, and we hope you like the new site.
So we've got also bonus time today. Every Monday we're starting Vox Populi, which is Latin for, well, I'll let you look it up. How's that? And we're going to go 10 to noon like we did last week. Take callers. The number is 888-480-5546 or 5646. That's going to be on the John Frederick Radio Network and also americasvoice.news. Last week I got so many compliments about how many people we had calling from overseas, not just from Seattle, Washington places, but from Belarus and the Middle East and Spain and other places. Yeah. So, we have some breaking news. Matt Gaetz, I'll tell you what, he's fantastic. He gets right to the point. He understands what the issues are. He's a dynamic personality. He cut right to the heart of it. And as he was talking, right, the president tweeted out something, Raheem?
Yeah, that's correct. This morning, about 9 a.m., the president...
Was the president listening to Matt Gaetz's interview?
I would say so. In prep for the trip overseas, what better prep? Donald Trump tweets this morning, breaking news, the president of Ukraine has just again announced that President Trump has done nothing wrong with respect to Ukraine and our interactions or calls. If the radical left Democrats were sane, which they are not, it would be case over. And President Trump is referring to an interview between President Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, who was, as people will recall, on that call with President Trump, how this impeachment process all kicked off. Zelensky gave an interview with Time magazine, Le Monde, Der Spiegel, and Gazeta Wyborcza. It's a joint international interview across those international news entities where Zelensky effectively said, look, there was no quid pro quo. It just didn't go down like that.
Let's bring in Scott Rasmussen now, one of the great, and the guy that we always, and one of the reasons was he rattled me with some of his polls early on when Nancy Pelosi was around the table. Scott, thank you for joining us today on War Room Impeachment.
Great to be with you.
Is this change, do you think Zelensky and the Ukraine is going to change dramatically where the polling is on that? I mean, where are the American people coming after the holidays? Where are they on this topic right now?
Well, right now, in the last week or two, opposition to impeachment has grown a little bit. The GOP base is rallying behind the president, or more specifically, rallying against what they're seeing on TV. But it's easy to overstate the impact. The reality is we have a partisan divide. Every recent poll shows between 85 and 90% of Democrats want the president impeached and removed from office. 82 to 94% of Republicans say that's ridiculous. And independent voters are split. So we're in a situation where it's not going to change a whole lot at the national level. It's also a situation that puts 31 House Democrats in a very awkward place. They're in districts won by Donald Trump. And because of this partisan divide, they're going to be on the defensive on this entire issue.
So, Scott, there's been a lot of talk about timing over the last few days, whether Democrats are rushing it and going too fast. Other people saying Democrats that they should be going fast to get this through and get it over to the Senate so their freshman members in these vulnerable districts aren't getting beaten up. What would be the smarter strategy for Democrats? Power it through and get it done, or take a lot more time and unpack this as far as independents and others are concerned?
You know, I don't think there is a smart strategy at this point. They're in a place where things aren't going to change. And so getting it over with and getting it done before the election makes more sense.
But it's just, I think the Democrats were so convinced that, something good would happen, something would break their way, that they missed the larger dynamics that are going on in this country. And, you know, I saw over the weekend stories that some people were envisioning Adam Schiff as a presidential candidate. You know, this is just a total misread.
Hey, Scott, we want to ask you to, if you can please hold over and take a short commercial break here on War Room Impeachment. Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller, Stephen K. Bannon, and warroom.org is the website. Scott Rasmussen, the top pollster for our movement, is on. We're going to take a short commercial break on the John Fredericks, Salem, America's Voice.news, and Newsmax TV. We'll return in just a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam, War Room, Impeachment, on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment. Stephen K. Bannon, Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. Trying a new clock here. something new every day.
I'm just screaming about Majesty.
Episode 54, Breitbart Embassy. Next 2 hours, starting at 10 o'clock, Vox Populi. That is Latin for we're taking your calls. 888-480-5646 on the John Fredericks Radio Network and America's Voice. News for the next couple hours, starting at 10 o'clock. Got Scott Rasmussen on the line. The question I had, Jason, jump in here, but Scott, this one, is it so solidified there can be no movement now? Is it any new set of facts, or is it just people thinking it's a waste of time? In other words, we're just about to start the grinder on this, right? The House Intelligence thing is not really the grinder. Now you're going to get into judiciary and then to the overall, to the floor. And there's going to be this brutal fight on national TV. Is there any chance of movement at all on this?
Imagine any chance of movement. It is a partisan divide. Both sides see what they want to see. Most voters who aren't firmly entrenched to this are going to be paying attention to the holiday shopping season. They're going to try and tune all of this out to the degree that people see anything at all or hear anything. They're going to see what they want to see. And look, they're more interested in the economy and health care and other issues. The only thing that's going to really hurt the president, the only thing that would increase support for impeachment and removal, is if the economy goes south. But that's a political decision. It gets back to the same thing. Election 2020.
But the economy's not going to go south. The economy's not going to go south in the next four weeks. I mean, we've had the biggest Black Friday online. We had the Small Business Saturday was supposed to be through the roof. I hear Cyber Monday today is going to be through the roof. People are so busy because Trump put them back to work, and they got bigger paychecks and more discretionary income, so now they're spending more money on Christmas. So we're not going to have any economic change in the next 6 weeks, right?
You're not going to have any economic change. You're not going to have any significant change in the polling on the impeachment question itself. Where you may see some shifts is people just saying, let's move on to something else.
Scott, so to that point, we're going to see the split-screen presidency back in full effect this week with President Trump in London for NATO's 70th anniversary meetings, while Nadler and Schiff and the rest of the crew are doing their nonsense here in the U.S. Is this a good message for Republicans to be driving right now, that we shouldn't be having these impeachment hearings while the president's overseas and going back to the opportunity cost that we're missing out on?
You know, there was a time in American life when the president being overseas was a big deal and politics was supposed to end at the water's edge. But that was also a time when we weren't used to this digital platform where everything shows up on your screen all the time. I don't think there's as conscious a distinction of, well, the president's overseas today, or if he's talking about what's going on in London while he's here in the U.S. So that process message doesn't seem to have an impact. But I would go back to the more basic point. About 12 million people watched the impeachment hearings, and all 12 million of them were already established in their perceptions. I don't think most people, and certainly those who are persuaded.
Hang over a second. How do you derive that the 12 million that watched it are the hardcore partisans on either party? Are you pretty sure that no people in the independents or no people without their minds made up actually tuned in?
I'm certain there were at least one or two, but overall, no, they didn't. And the reason you know that is because nothing changed. It's like watching a Democratic presidential debate where everybody who's watching has a person they're cheering for and things don't change. What you end up seeing is, you got to remember, 26% of voters say things wouldn't be all that different if Hillary Clinton was president. These are the persuadable voters. They're not going to be tuning into the impeachment hearings.
So, Scott, to that point, I want to go right to this. You said earlier that the Republican base, the pro-Trump base, has become more motivated. On a scale of the 1 to 10 for both the Trump voters and for the Democrats, where are each side's base at right now for their motivation and their intensity?
Right now, both sides are about an 8. And what's amazing about that is normally at this point in a presidential cycle, we would expect the party out of power to have a huge advantage in that category. We would expect the Democrats to be fired up just like Republicans were fired up when President Obama was in office. But what you're seeing now is partly because of this impeachment hearing and partly because of just the endless efforts of the resistance, Republicans are as fired up as Democrats at this point in the election cycle.
Do the independents, I want to go to opportunity cost for a second, is anything getting through to them, the things like USMCA, opioids, prescription drug pricing, infrastructure, pay for, you know, this new CR we've got, we don't even have a budget yet or appropriations. Is anything breaking through to them that there's a ton of work that's not being done and people are spending time on this? Does that register now with more lower information or people that are not as highly partisan and engaged?
When you ask about specific issues, I would probably say each of those issues matters to some segment of this population. But the broader story is, yes, there is a frustration. 2 out of 3 people say, we think you should be focusing on those issues, specifically issues like the economy and health care, rather than impeachment. And they tend to think that the opposite is happening. So there's a frustration.
Do you think now there's talk about censure, and you just mentioned before we left in the last break about Adam Schiff for president. we got to find out where that's coming
from. Is this
on
Mad Magazine? Where was this, Scott?
What me worry?
You know, when you talk about this entire process of 2020 and what the election, this is what it's going to come down to. It's not going to be the impeachment decision. It's going to be who do the Democrats nominate? What message do they come with, and how do you work this out? And then it becomes a turnout battle.
So this is a mobilization election.
Exactly. And right now, all indications are that we're going to see a close election, that we'll see a close battle in the battleground states we talked about 4 years ago. We'll be seeing what happens in Wisconsin, and we'll see what happens in Michigan and Pennsylvania. And all of the evidence at this point in time says it's pretty close in all of those places. And I'll tell you one stat that I think would be, you know, just very important to understand in this. People recognize that Donald Trump draws a lot of support from white voters who do not have a college degree. In 2016, only 58% of them showed up to vote. White voters with a college degree, the turnout rate was 81%. Reaching those Trump supporters who are trying to decide if it's worth voting or not is a key part of this turnout and mobilization effort.
But we got about 30 seconds, 45 seconds left. As you see it now from the Democrats' point of view, if you see the data from what, if you were talking to Pelosi, do you force a vote before Christmas, or do you go into the new year, or do you shift and try to go to some censure?
I would force a vote before Christmas, because censure, she would just lose control of her party.
Scott, I want to thank you very much for joining us. Scott Rasmussen, one of the top pollsters out there. So, guys, we got about a minute left. I want to go back to what Scott said. Given what he just said about she can't do a censure because then she'll lose the motivation of her own base. She's got to force it. Do you think, with all the chatter we've had now, you're seeing on some of the cable networks, particularly Fox, that, hey, this may go to censure. Are you buying it or not, Jason Miller?
I'm not buying it, but I still think it's a good message for Republicans to push, because it's reminding voters that Democrats could be pursuing a more, quote-unquote, rational or more moderate approach to this, rather than going all the way to impeachment. And so as the opportunity costs pile up, as these freshman Democrats are getting hammered, it's really putting Pelosi in that position where it's the least bad of two options is the road she's going to have to follow.
Raheem, what are your ideas?
I'm focused on warroom.org.
What are people going to see? Listen,
well, we just put up a story. We just put up the story about the Zelensky interviews over the course of the weekend and the President Trump's reaction to it. It's the lead item on warroom.org.
This is a brand new website, Raheem. This is the third iteration. We're going to make it better and better and better each day. We got to take a short commercial break here and return with Raheem and Jason. Remember, in the next 2 hours, starting at 10 o'clock, we got Vox Populi, which means we're taking your calls from all over the world, 888-480-5646. Short commercial break. We'll return with War Room Impeachment in just a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment
on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to episode 54, War Room Impeachment, 2 December, year of our Lord, 2019, at the Breitbart Embassy on the John Fredericks, the Salem Radio, the AmericasVoice.news, and Newsmax TV, which is the fastest growing cable operation, news cable operation in the country, now passing 70 million homes. I think Chris Reddy's going to be in next week in the War Room. Want to go back to, we're going to do Vox Populi, which means we're taking all your calls from across the country and across the globe, starting at 10 o'clock. 888-480-5646 will be the number. Also want to thank our board producer, Kiara Johnson. She'll be the voice you hear when you call in. She does an amazing job. Last week, they melted down the boards of the John Fredericks Global Corporate Headquarters. Kiara, I want to thank you so much for the job you're doing, the John Fredericks team. Raheem, the new site is up. It's cranking. We want your comments, your observations, folks, every day, how we can make it better. Raheem, tell people how they get there, how to get to the podcast, what do they do to get this 24/7?
Yeah, warroom.org is now a lot more easy to navigate. There is clear listen live buttons for when we are live, like now. You can see at the top, very top of the website, all the access to all the different podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, right in your face. Then you've got a link to the episode section, the newsroom, which is where we keep a rolling news website of everything impeachment related. The show clips, which is when somebody comes on the show as a guest and breaks news, or the occasional time you say something interesting, Steve, we throw it in the show clip section. Our media section, which goes to show you all the media that's following us and what we're saying, and of course the all-important newsletter, which we send out, very brief thing every day, just to make sure you are on it and you're in the war room.
Remember, we're here 7 days a week until the day after President Trump's acquitted, the 45th president of the United States. We're going to ratchet up starting today. I want to get your thoughts, guys, before we end the broadcast. Jason, you first. Today, shift, I think at 6 o'clock, drops the draft of the majority report, minority report, also on House intel. That'll be the basis for going forward on the articles of impeachment of judiciary. What do you expect to see?
Well, if Schiff is going to be releasing that to members today at 6 o'clock, then I imagine Eric Swalwell will be in front of cameras at approximately 5:59, claiming to have read it and saying that the sky is falling for President Trump. This is an entire made-for-TV production. You're going to see the headlines bashing President Trump, but there's not going to be anything new.
What's the over and under the first time? They're going to weaponize some of the things. So when do you expect the first leak? Before 6 o'clock?
Oh, Wolf. I can already hear Wolf saying right now, and breaking news. It is damning news for the president, but it won't be.
Raheem.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Listen, I'm very excited about Vox Populi in the next 2 hours. My favorite part, listening to people from all across the world and indeed all across America who call in to tell us exactly what they're thinking. I think because one of the major parts of the last couple of weeks, especially over the Thanksgiving period, has been this Democratic town halls where people have been going apoplectic, and rightly so, at their incumbent Democrats. So we want to hear from you guys. 888-480-5646.
So the special two-hour bonus time. We're going to start at 10 o'clock. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after the beginning of the 10 o'clock hour on both the John Fredericks Radio Network and AmericasVoice.news. This has been War Room Impeachment, episode 54. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., we'll have the complete analysis of Adam Schiff's report. See you tomorrow.